Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
This Thursday is the fifth anniversary of the beginning of the war in Iraq, and as we approach this milestone, I guess you could call it, there's real concern, obviously about the future of the war-ravaged country, but also about the desperate situation of Iraq's Christian community, which is fast diminishing. Canon Andrew White joins us now. He is known as the Vicar of Baghdad, and he's one of the few ministers that's left in the city. Canon White, good to have you on Open House tonight.
Good evening.
You've got quite an interesting career, I guess you could say. You've been the Vicar of Baghdad there for some years, and including when Saddam Hussein was in power. How have you seen Iraq change over the last 5 years?
Well, first, there was great jubilation because we saw that we were finally free from the regime of Saddam Hussein, which was all-compassing evil. But now things are so difficult and so tense and so painful, you cannot live a normal life at all.
Really?
I go to church each week with 30 soldiers in armoured cars and with armoured vehicles, and the soldiers all stick these guns out the window. And they have to be Iraqis because my church is Iraqi. And I say to them, please don't shoot anybody. I don't like you shooting people on my way to church. And they try not to.
So are they protecting you?
Yes, they are, yeah.
So in comparison, would you say that things were better under Saddam, even though that was horrific itself?
Can't really talk about past and present because we're talking about two very different situations. Life now is all horrendous. There's no comparison to anything. You can't compare it to before. And yet, even though it is still terrible now, I would still say it had to happen.
Right. Well, describe more. You describe it as being horrendous. Give us a picture day to day of what life in Baghdad is like now.
It's difficult for me to say how it is for the ordinary person because I'm not an ordinary person. I can't walk down the streets. I can't go to the shops. But now Iraq is such, Baghdad is such, that there are security threats continually, that even though certainly until a week ago we could say security had improved in Baghdad, we were talking about improvement of, instead of several hundred people being killed each day in the city, just maybe 200 were killed. And so it is completely a military zone. So at every single point, you see police and soldiers and coalition forces. You hear bombs going off. You hear guns going off all the time. It's simply like being in a war.
Yeah. It must be hard for you to pastor a congregation under those kinds of circumstances. I mean, have you lost many of the people within your own church? Your own congregation?
I've lost all of my original leaders of the church, lay leaders of the church. Every one of them has been killed. In the last year, I've lost 57 people. And we have a congregation of 1,500 people and only six men. All the rest have been killed.
Wow. So, to clarify, how many people currently do you have in your congregation left?
About 1,500. And the reason we have so many is because church is not just about worship one day a week. Church is every day of the week. We provide food, money, medicine, healthcare, surgery. Everything is done through the church. So we have to take care of the total aspects of life of our people in every single way. If we do not provide it, they do not get it. Yeah. Our people have nothing. And for Christians, things are so difficult. You know, yesterday we saw the Archbishop of Mosul killed. We are seeing Christians now targeted. All people in Iraq have found it very difficult. All people have been targeted. But now it's particularly difficult for Christians.
Yeah. And it might sound like an obvious question, but who is the greatest threat coming from? When it comes to Christians being targeted, who is the greatest threat coming from?
It's difficult to really say at the moment. I'm sitting down with both Shia and Sunni clerics. I have about 40 of them with me. And they are all seriously opposed to the violence against Christians. And yet, if you talked about what is happening, who is happening from, the fact is that it is Islamic threats. And it was very much Al-Qaeda threats, Al-Qaeda and Iraq threats. But our people are threatened from every side.
Speaking of Al-Qaeda, you yourself have got, I believe, a $30,000 US bounty on your head. Specifically, what is that for? Is it because of your peacemaking work?
That was years ago. It's now $4 million.
It's $4 million.
Yeah, that was a long while ago.
And specifically, what is that bounty on your head for?
To kill me or kidnap me or something like that.
Yeah, but because of what have you done that they don't like?
I'm a Christian. I work with the coalition as well as with the Iraqi government. I don't just only lead the church. I'm also responsible for dealing with religious sectarianism in Iraq.
You're a significant Christian leader in the area where Christians are being targeted, and as well as that, you're working for quote unquote the enemy when it comes to Al Qaeda.
I do work for the enemy, yes, but fortunately, our faith teaches us to love our enemies.
Yes, how difficult is that becoming these days?
Well, it depends who our enemies are. To be quite honest with you. The people of Iraq, I just love them so much.
Yeah.
And even the coalition, you know, we have a large number of Australian troops as well. They are outstanding. They're doing an incredible job. And I just hope you really appreciate what they're doing. Because all of the coalition, whether they're American, British, Australian, Moldovan or Georgian, they're all doing an incredible job, but mainly I would say that four nations were doing a really massive job, and that is Australia, Denmark, Britain and America.
And of course, as we approach the fifth anniversary of Iraq, Canon Andrew White, there is, of course, the ongoing question as to whether the war should be continuing to go on or whether those troops should be pulled out of the country. Love to get your feelings on that.
There isn't a war. We're not fighting a war. We're trying to make peace. And that's one thing that the people of the world have got to understand. The presence of the coalition troops in Iraq at the moment is about working for peace, not for war. And if they were to leave, we would have a huge, bloody civil war on our hands. We're not at stage where they can leave. Yes, lots of mistakes were made by the coalition immediately after the war. Yes, part of the responsibility for the terrible situation now is the coalition. But the fact is that if we pulled out now, things would be so much worse, and they're already terrible. I do not want to see that for the sake of the Iraqi people.
So if the forces pulled out, if the coalition, if the troops pulled out, what would happen? Do you think it would be Al-Qaeda who would take over? What would happen?
No, I think certainly from the time of the surge, the US-led surge, Al-Qaeda have really fled Baghdad, and they're very much in the north, that they could come back. But basically, there would be a civil war between the Shia and the Sunni.
Okay. So the presence of the troops at the moment is still keeping that at bay as best as it can, even though that's not very good at all either.
Yeah, but if they weren't here, it would just be terrible.
Okay, it would descend even further. What can you see is the solution to this from your point of view, Andrew?
If you'd asked me that question 3 years ago, I would have told you point by point exactly what needed to happen. Now, being in the midst of it for so long, I honestly can't tell you. Yes, we need peace here. We need people to work together. But I would probably say that one of the key things has to be the engagement between religions. When religion goes wrong, it goes very wrong and people die. And religion has gone wrong here in Iraq. And so we have to put a huge amount of effort into engaging in the interreligious process, and we're trying to do that, but people don't really understand what this means.
Who doesn't understand?
Many people do not understand, not least the major partners of the coalition. This conflict will not be solved or won by having more and more troops on the ground. We do need them, but that's not the sole solution.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is a very strange thing, that we actually need military and religion.
So I guess that's why you are currently sitting with a group of Islamic leaders. You're trying to dialogue, you're trying to converse, you're trying to bring some sort of peace amidst all of these groups.
And we are seeing a considerable amount of effect.
Okay.
But one of the problems is that this whole process is very, very costly. And at the moment, it is funded exclusively by the Pentagon, who have finally realized that a major part of dealing with this war, as you call it, is actually dealing with the religious leaders. And the fact is, you can't deal with religious leaders if you just turned up after the war. The only reason I can do my job is that I was here for 5 years before the war.
Mm, sure, and you've got the credibility of being there before all this this kind of really escalated.
And the relationships, and so much of this is relationship orientated.
Yes. I believe at one stage you had dinner with Saddam Hussein's two sons, Uday and Qusay, who've obviously been given opportunity to speak to some fairly high-level people. Have you been able to speak to any of the key leaders behind the attacks on Christians and also making life hell for Iraqis in general?
As regards Al-Qaeda, no. Yeah. We do not talk to them. We cannot talk to them. As regards other leaders of militant groups, yes, I work with many of them, and I've got many of them with me now. You know, you can't just make peace by talking to nice people. You know, you hear of all these wonderful interfaith meetings and nice people talk to nice people and they drink cups of tea and eat smoked salmon sandwiches. It's not like that here.
Yeah.
We're about trying to stop war. And in order to try and stop war, you've got to deal with people who cause that war. But if I can just say something to finalize, the Iraqi people are the most wonderful people I've ever met. My church, and I'm the only non-Iraqi in my church, is the best church I've ever had. Even though the people are suffering incredibly, they just love me like I've never been loved before, and I love them like I've never loved anybody before.
Yeah.
And even though we see terrible things happening, things are awful, Iraq is still the most wonderful country in the world.
Yeah. How can we help from the other side of the world, Andrew? I mean, we obviously need to be praying for your security.
Help by sending your wonderful troops over. How you can help is by supporting your troops when they come home and realizing that what they're doing is creating peace, not war.
Okay. We can certainly also be praying for your security as well. It sounds like you're a key person in there. And
well, it's not just me. It's all the Christians, and particularly the Christians of Iraq.
Yeah.
We really need to pray for their safety and security.
Okay.
We hope that one day your listeners will be able to come on holiday to Baghdad.
Yeah, it's a good dream, isn't it? It's a good dream to keep the hope alive.
Isn't that a good dream?
Yeah, the Baghdad dream.
We have to have dreams in this world. If we don't have dreams, we'll never see them fulfilled.
That's it. That's it. Well, let's pray with you along those lines. Thanks for your time, Canon Andrew White. I do appreciate it.
Nice talking to you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye. Yeah, Canon Andrew White there, called the Vicar of Baghdad. Can you hear the emotion in his voice? Vicar at St. George's Anglican Church in Baghdad, and certainly pray for his security. Obviously, he's quite a target.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.